when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, he being Jesus. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered it, and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Wow, isn't that amazing? Or is it? Should it be amazing to us? Shouldn't this be a normal occurrence in the life of a Christian's experience? Is this really possible for us? Didn't Jesus say, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also? And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Luke 6:40 says, The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. As he is in this world, so are we. Ye shall decree a thing, and it shall come to pass. This power has been made available to you, therefore it is available to you. Jesus himself said you can do as he does, and this isn't something intended for times past. Understand, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is also no respecter of persons. So this includes every person in the body of Christ, regardless of who you are or which era you were born in. All of us can do this. Jesus only had one criteria. He that believeth on me. So how exactly do we harness this power and put it to use for God? Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 says, Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If you have a cross-reference in your Bible, you will see where other words have been used to explain what the scripture says. So if we substitute the words in the text with the words in the cross-reference in the text we just read, it will read, Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and inaccessible things which thou knowest not. The word says, Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So I'll be referring to cross-references so you can get a good understanding of what God has said to you. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Okay, so let's get to the exciting part and examine the proof that you can actually decree or declare things and see your words come to pass. Jesus said, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He told us, Behold, I give unto you power. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When you release God's living word out of your mouth, where the power of life and death resides, you release life. And by speaking, you establish the foundations for the spiritual world to usher in physical visible changes to your environment. How? Jesus' words are spirit and life. The Bible uses the word quicken or quickeneth, which means Jesus' words give life. See to it that you bear that in mind. Jesus' words are spirit and life. They actually possess some sort of tangible substance. His words actually have energy which sets things into motion. Now, the words of Jesus are spiritual. The spiritual invisible world is what gives birth to the physical visible world. Anything done in the spiritual world causes an effect on the physical visible world, hence the law commonly referred to as cause and effect. Something else I want you to know is that the words heart and spirit are used interchangeably in scripture. So when I say out the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, I could also say out the abundance of the spirit the mouth speaks. I said that to say this, bearing in mind the spirit quickens or gives life, or in other words, causes effects on the physical world, when you speak out of the abundance of your spirit with your tongue, which has the power of life and death in it, you have caused something to happen in the spirit world, which will cause a physical effect. When you release words out of your mouth, speaking to something like Jesus spoke to the fig tree, you are speaking to the very root of the situation. The cause will take effect from the root and have an effect on the rest of the issue. All physical effects, or fruit as the Bible calls it, have a spiritual root or spiritual cause that brought about the physical effect. Faith is the spiritual force which causes physical effects. Faith is the substance of things, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Your words of life, spoken from God's word in faith, release power on the root cause. They do not change the fruit effect first, but the root and then the fruit. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it, because the blessing is spiritual and will fix a situation by transforming the entire situation. If you only dealt with things on the level of the fruit, picking off the bad fruit, you will continue producing bad fruit. Unless the spiritual root of the problem is resolved, the same problems will occur. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. Any plant the Father has not planted will be rooted out. When you deal with the things at the root level, the whole situation is resolved. Now, when out the abundance of your spirit you speak spiritual words of life, you are dealing with the situation at its root directly. Now the fruit produced will be as good as the root you changed. Here's the point I want to make. It may take a while for the goodness from the root to actually penetrate the entire plant and bear good fruit. I repeat, this process may take a while. This is why we walk by faith and not by sight. For a while it may look like nothing is happening. It is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That basically means that what you see happening is completely irrelevant and deceptive, because by just looking at what you can see, you can't accurately perceive what is actually really happening. This is why the just live by faith. Faith is the substance of things, the evidence of things not seen. Though through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Behind the scenes, there is always something God is doing which you can't see, because it's not always happening in front of you. It's happening elsewhere, and when it is complete, God will connect it to you one way or a thousand others. The key here is not to give up faith. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Revelation 19:13 says, Jesus is called the Word of God. If you apply that to Hebrews 10:37-38, it reads, For yet a little while, and he, Jesus, the Word of God, that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We need to make up our mind about something, speak it, and just believe it will be, and be in one mind about it. One mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So don't give up. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. And we are winners. In truth, we are actually more than winners, because the Bible says we are overcomers and more than conquerors. We are not moved by what we see, only by what the Word of God says. What the devil wants is for you to be focused on what you can see. Why? Because when you are only focused on what you can see and you don't see change, you get discouraged. But that's only if you are focused on what you can see. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. Seeing what you can't see, knowing you will see it. This is what it means to live by faith in the Word. It's those who do this who see the Word become visible substance. The Bible says when you sow the Word of God into your heart, the devil comes immediately to choke the Word. But if you submit to God and His Word and resist the devil, he will flee like a playground bully when he sees your big brother Jesus and his crew show up on the scene. Satan is a defeated foe, and this is why you must keep yourself constantly immersed in the Word of God. Keep with the Scriptures. They will resolve every negative issue in your life. Every time you have an issue come up, you will have a scripture to attack it with. You will just have scriptures running around in your head like a cat chasing a rat in the attic. The rat will be caught and killed without remorse, and so will any negative thought against the Word which tries to exalt itself against God. When His Word is in abundance in your heart, no dark evil thing can live in its presence. Just as dark cannot exist where light is present, and we are the children of light. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Your mouth is a good gauge to tell what is in abundance within the secret chambers of your heart. In other words, you can tell what's in your heart by what comes out your mouth. For example, when a circumstance contrary to what the Word of God says is so comes up, and your natural response, without even thinking, is to immediately speak the Word of God, that's when you know the Word of God is in abundance in your heart. If you agree with the circumstance and speak words of worry, then that is what is in abundance in your heart. Your mouth will let you know what you are thinking, and as you think in your heart, so will you be. Whatever is in your heart is what you will speak. You speak either life or death, blessing or cursing, and God says choose life so that you and your seed may live. If all you speak is life and blessing, then that is what is in abundance in your heart. And get this, out of your heart flow the issues of life. what you speak with the power of life in your tongue, you will have manifested in your life. Proverbs 18:20 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Now, I want you to notice something there. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. God has spoken all these wonderful promises to you. Here's the thing, a man's belly is satisfied with the fruit of his own mouth. Now, although God has said things, if you want to experience them, his word must be spoken by your mouth. The fruit you see in your life now is the fruit of your mouth. Speak God's word and his word will bear fruit in your life. What I can see in your life is a result of the words you have spoken. Therefore, I can tell what was in your heart a while back when you spoke those things. Your environment around you is simply a manifested delay of what was in your heart in the past. You literally have the power in your mouth to shape your future the way you want it to be. If you want your life to change, change the words you speak right this moment and choose to speak life and blessing only. In the future, you will see the fruit of the words you speak now. In the future, your environment will display a delayed portrait of what you say today. The word says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Closely connected with Christ's warning in regard to the sin against the Holy Spirit is a warning against idle and evil words. The words are an indication of that which is in the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, but the words are more than an indication of character. They have power to react on the character. Men are influenced by their own words. It is dangerous to utter a word of doubt, dangerous to question and criticize divine light. The habit of careless, irreverent criticism reacts upon the character in fostering irreverence and unbelief. Only words that will have any power to change anything in your life are those spoken in faith or fear. Basically, in order for any word you speak to come to pass, it must be firmly believed that what you are saying will happen. Now, assuming you choose to speak words of faith, words of life and blessing, you have to genuinely believe the words you say. They must be abundant in your heart. They must be spoken in faith. Now, every man has been dealt the measure of faith, and it is developed by hearing and hearing the word of God. You need faith because without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you include the definition of faith in this text, it really makes your understanding fruitful. It reads like this, without faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must be diligent in your hearing of the word. God rewards diligence, and you must keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. As I mentioned before, the things which are seen in the physical world were made of things which were not seen. God's words are not seen. They are spirit and they quicken, which means they give life. God's words, which are spirit and give life, spoken in faith, were the things not seen, which were the substances responsible for creating the visible world we now live in. Jesus said, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of thunder, then he did see it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The sower soweth the word. The word is sown when they have heard. The word was sown in their hearts. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. If you diligently keep the word of God in your heart, the issues which come out of it will be in your life. If there is nothing in your heart but the word of God, then nothing will be produced other than his word. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The more word you have received in you, the better the harvest of fruit from the word seed your heart will yield. So what is it that is required of you to see what you say happen? B-E-L-I-E-V-E. Believe. You have been given enough reason to do so. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." The apostle said unto the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." Did you just hear what Jesus said? You know from Romans 12 verse 3 that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Therefore, you have the measure of faith. Now, let's just say the measure God dealt you was the size of a grain of mustard seed. In other words, a very small measure. According to Jesus, that measure of faith is sufficient enough for you to say unto this sycamine tree, "Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." You already have enough faith to say a word to something, and whatever you tell it to do, it should obey you. Now, what do you need to do in order for you to decree a thing and have it obey you? You must believe what you say in your heart. Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Jesus himself did it, and he told us we could do it. He also specifically said, the things that he does shall we do, and greater things than these. I'm not saying this. Jesus said this. Jesus is not a liar. He came that we might have life more abundantly. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. It's right there in plain English, black and white. He that believes Jesus shall do these things. Jesus said it is so. What other proof do you need? We believe our doctors, our authority figures, we believe pastors. Well, believe Jesus. His words carry more weight than anyone else. His words are spirit and they give life. And if his words were used to say that when you say something and believe it, it will happen, then you rest assured when you say something, it will happen. Not because you said it, but because he has given your words empowerment by making that statement. So whenever you say something and believe it, it will happen. It has to happen. It has no choice. This has been decreed by the King of the universe who possesses all power which was given to him, the one who created the universe in which we live. If his words were powerful enough to create the universe, then his words are powerful enough to empower your words to make things happen. He said to us, behold, I have given you power. If you want the word of God you speak to happen, you have to speak it out of the abundance of your heart. In order for the word to be in abundance when being spoken out of your heart, you have to have it in your heart. Jesus said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Make sure the words in the treasure of your heart are Christ's. The only words you speak which produce fruit are the ones you speak from the abundance of your heart, whether they are evil or good. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whatever words you are speaking, whether death or life, you will eat the fruit your words produce. To speak a good thing from the word and see it happen, it must first be deposited, written in your heart. One of the ways is to get the word written in you. One of the ways to get the word written in you is to speak it in with your mouth. When that word seed has firmly established its roots within the soil of your heart, in abundance, eventually, when you speak that word, it won't just be deposited in your heart, but because its roots have been established, it will actually produce fruit in the physical world. In other words, because you now speak the word out from the abundance of your heart, it shall come to pass. And it shall come to pass because you really believe it. Here is God's word confirming what I have said. According to Psalms 45 verse 1 and Psalms 3 verse 3, you can write the word on your heart by using your tongue, which is the pen you write it with. See for yourself, check it out. Psalms 3 verse 3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. Your mouth is one of the gateways to the heart. When you speak a word from the word, you make a deposit in your heart. Psalms 45 verse 1 says, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Once the word is written on your heart, you have the word in your heart in abundance. And this is when your tongue becomes a powerful weapon. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The words of your mouth from the abundance of your heart have authority over things and circumstances. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. I want you to pay close attention to the following statement. As far as you are concerned, it is more powerful for you to speak the word over your life than it is for me or anybody else to speak over it. Because what you believe, think, and speak takes precedence over what anyone else can do for you or to you. Even some words God spoke will have no power in your life as far as you are concerned until you believe them and speak them. We believe and therefore speak. You see, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, according to your faith be it unto you. As powerful as Jesus is, he couldn't heal people because of their unbelief. Read Matthew 13 verse 58. He did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. Your words carry the most weight over your life than anyone else's. If you want to get results from the word, don't rely on me or anybody else to speak it into your life. Speak it to yourself. Speak it to yourself. You carry the power within you, a believing heart and a tongue, and that's all you need. I can't nor can God override your faith. It will be according to you. Now remember that this is a process. It may take a while to get the word into your heart, so don't be discouraged when you decree something and it doesn't happen straight away. Although you want the words you speak to produce something outwardly, understand that to begin with, a lot of the words you are speaking will simply be producing something in your heart first. When something substantial is established in your heart, then when you speak and decree a thing, it shall come to pass. Words you speak which defy natural laws will be overridden by the spiritual energy of God's word that you speak. Just like when an airplane overrides the law of gravity with the law which supersedes it, called the law of lift. Whatever gravity says doesn't matter when the law of lift comes on the scene. Gravity says the weight of an airplane is heavier than the matter of air. Therefore, it cannot stay in the air. But the law of lift says, gravity, bow down, I'm overriding you. Gravity cannot be stopped, but it can be overcome. We who are born of God are overcomers and have overcome the world and the laws in it. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So you see, your faith in what you speak overcomes the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Supernatural laws override natural laws. God's word is supernatural. when you speak supernatural words over natural circumstances and things, the supernatural words supersede the natural things and circumstances. There is a higher supernatural law residing over every natural circumstance in your life that is not in the will of God. So find the word, the supernatural word, that supersedes your circumstances, be it finance, health, love, whatever. Faith itself is a law, a supernatural law, which when applied with the word overrides the world. Speaking the word is what has power. Life and death is in the power of the faith speaking tongue. Jesus said, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Not some things, anything, whatsoever it may be, Jesus has promised he will do it. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Wow. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Once you have prayed or spoken the word, speak only words you mean and want to come to pass. Don't speak anything contrary to it. Make sure your words are consistently in line with the word. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Speak words of life and blessing. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Blessing and curses, or life and death, coming out the same mouth, ought not be happening. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in his word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, and that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But the wisdom that is above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Consistency in speaking good words is the key. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. The psalmist wrote, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." We and our words must be in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In being double-minded, we offend God, as he can't be pleased without faith. Faith is fully persuaded, not double-minded. If you are not fully persuaded, you offend God, and offend your faith with your double mind. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Keep your word consistently. Whosoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. If our love is perfect, so is our faith, because faith works by love. Since we cannot expect to receive anything of the Lord with a double mind, the only other available option is to be of one mind. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. A double-minded man is not a man in faith, and a man not in faith cannot please God. You may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Steadfast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Fulfill ye my joy, being of one mind. Watch what you observe and allow to speak into your life. Refrain from listening to or watching anything which is contrary to the word you believe. What you pay attention to most and have speaking to you the most is what you will believe. So make sure you listen to and watch the right things. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. No matter what you feel the circumstances say, don't give your power to them by agreeing with them and speaking about them as if they have authority. They only have authority if you grant them that power with your words. You are the one in control. You are the one in control. What you manifest will be according to your faith. So even if you feel tempted to speak the concerns you have, which are contrary to what the word says, do your best with the power of Christ, which strengthens you to refrain. Don't utter every and any thought that comes to your mind. Many people say, "Well, I just speak what I feel. I mean, I'm just being real." According to God, that is unwise. In the multitude of words, there wanteth no sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. I'm going to read the same passage and put the cross references in. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. There is one who speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. The truth isn't always in the appearance of things we see. So therefore, the truthful lip of a person who lives by faith will talk of things which cannot be seen, and it shall be established forever. But the person whose mouth agrees only with that which they see is only speaking facts. And facts can change, and facts don't always line up with truth. So when we think we are being real, saying what we feel, we are actually just speaking facts which are subject to change, because they are subject to the truth. Truth changes facts. Facts don't have the capability to change truth. The truth is constant whether it can be seen or not. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. A lying tongue is but for a moment, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Speak the truth, even if it cannot be seen. This is wise, and the words of your truthful lips shall be established forever. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. The cross reference says, a fool uttereth all his mind, vents his feelings, but a wise man holds it back. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Cross-reference, the words of wise men spoken quietly should be heard rather than the shout. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. The scripture says this, the disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, thou shalt say, there is a lifting up. And he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. God calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, it's interesting because Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. The word followers in the original Greek is mimic or imitate. So in Greek it would read, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. It is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. In other words, the gardener. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. God is glorified when the words we speak bear much fruit, because when we abide in Christ, his words that are in us bear fruit. Now, we are living by faith. Therefore, we do not allow our circumstances to dictate to us who we are, what we can do, or what we can have. We dictate what happens to our circumstances by our words, thoughts, faith, and actions. Therefore, we can speak God's words boldly and expect to see things happen. Be not afraid, only believe. The righteous are never forsaken. God is a God that confirmeth the word of his servant. If you look at some of the definitions of the word confirm, it adds more to your understanding, and I'm going to put it straight into that text. God establishes the word of his servant. God acknowledges with definite assurance the word of his servant. God makes valid the word of his servant. God will establish and make valid with definite assurance the words you speak. That is powerful. If God confirms what you say, it is as good as God himself saying what you said. And look what happens when God says something. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Cross-reference. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I am watching over my word to perform it. Notice what God said. He said, I am watching over my word. So speak his word, which he is watching over. He watches his word spoken from your lips and goes to perform it. Once he confirms your word speaking his word, it's his word, and he will hasten to perform his word. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Boy, this is good stuff. Well, when all you see is negativity, don't speak negativity. You'll create more of the same. Speak the word only. You will create what the word says in your life. Only speak what God says, which you want. Don't say, I don't have enough money to pay this bill. Pray according to his word, believing he will do it. Jesus promised, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, you will have it. If you ask in his name, he will do it. When you pray according to the word, you have the petitions you desired of him. When you ended your prayer, you said, in Jesus' name, amen. What you really said was, in Jesus' name, so be it. It is done. So after you have prayed, from that point on, you believe you have received. So speak about it as if you have it. With thanksgiving, you made your request to God because you knew he would do it. Speak and act as though it is done. God calls things that be not as though they were. And as you are meant to be mimicking God and be as your master, you should call things that be not as though they are. We believe and therefore we speak and we live by faith, only speaking the word no matter what we see. So once you have prayed according to the word about paying a bill, from now on, your words must agree with God's words. El Shaddai, my God who is sufficient for the needs of his people, has supplied all my need according to his riches in glory. So let the poor say, I am rich. Let the ill say, I am whole. There is one who speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. As challenging as it may be to just say how you feel and let your words line up with what's around you, don't. A fool uttereth all his mind, vents his feelings, but a wise man holds it back. This is why you need one mind to glorify God with. Jesus promised, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Okay, so what exactly is all this for? What is the use in decreeing a thing so it shall come to pass? What is the ultimate purpose for which God intended it? Why have we been given this power? Job 22 verses 28 to 30 sums up the answer to this question better than any words I can come up with. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, thou shalt say, there is a lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. Go with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 and 3. And I'm using the cross reference here. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. He that prophesieth speaketh to edification and exhortation and comfort. Let's break this text down. I found the definition of the word prophesy. It said to reveal the will or message of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion for ever and ever. The word edification was also used. It's taken from the word edify, which means to inform, instruct, or benefit morally or spiritually, in order to enlighten, build up, or strengthen a person. The word exhortation was used too. It's taken from the word exhort. It is the ability to help others reach their full potential by means of encouraging, challenging, comforting, and guiding them by motivating them to take action, achieving inward transformation, spiritual fulfillment, and outward manifestation of godly fruit in their lives. Exhortation comes from the same Greek word translated helper or counselor and comforter in John 16:7. The gift of exhortation is the ability to bring encouragement to help others see the relevance of Scripture, to give an insightful counsel, to motivate, to comfort, and to offer hope that prompts action. We see an example in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, in which he exhorts Christians to do a wide range of things. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Exhorters exhort Christians to warn, comfort, uphold, to be patient. Exhortation is used to motivate people toward achieving inward transformation or spiritual fulfillment and outward manifestation of godly fruit in their lives. Transformation is the goal of exhortation, to see the person growing more in his or her spiritual life and becoming more like Christ. So let's put that all together with the meanings of the words to make sense of 1 Corinthians 14 verses 1 and 3 and understand what God wants us to decree and why. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may reveal the will or message of God. He that reveals the will or message of God speaketh unto men in order to inform, instruct, or benefit morally or spiritually, in order to enlighten, build up, or strengthen a person, and help others reach their full potential by means of encouraging, challenging, comforting, and guiding them by motivating them to take action, achieving inward transformation or spiritual fulfillment, an outward manifestation of godly fruit in their lives, and comfort them. This is what the master did. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. As he is in this world, so are we. You are here on earth as an ambassador on the business of the kingdom of God. You are here to colonize the earth to be like heaven. In your mission, you are to receive instructions from the throne in heaven to implement in this territory. Now, God gave you dominion over this natural world. Nothing in the territory of this natural physical realm comes into existence from the supernatural realm unless it is called into existence by those who are natural with supernatural authority in this realm, and you are one of those who possess that power. You came into possession of this awesome power when you were born again. I like to tell people, if you weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth, be born again and you'll be born with a gold one. There is so much you haven't seen or even began to imagine, but God will reveal these things to you. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. This is Elliot Odell. I'll see you next time.